And now in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, at verse 18, Paul writes, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And then in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, at verse 2, Paul writes, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I read the story of a preacher who once suffered from voice fatigue. The doctor said he would have to stop preaching for a long while. His response to the doctor's verdict was this: "Well, doctor, it would be all right if I didn't have so much to shout about." And you know, that's how I feel today. I wouldn't mind keeping quiet. I would not mind being voiceless or speechless if I didn't have so very much to shout about. I've entitled my message, "Something to Shout About." I read the story of Charles G. Finney, one of the greatest preachers of all time. As a young man, he was a very prominent lawyer. One day, he saw how empty life was without Christ. So he surrendered his life to preach the gospel. The next morning, his wealthiest client came into his office. Mr. Finney said to him, "Sir, I cannot take your case. I have been retained by another, and I must serve him all the days of my life." And you know, Mr. Finney had something to shout about. And that's how I feel. I, too, have been retained by a higher power, and I have something to shout about. The Apostle Paul had something to shout about. Although he studied to be a rabbi, and went to Jerusalem at age 13 and sat under the feet of Gamaliel, the great rabbi in Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul, one day on the road to Damascus, had all of the plans of his life totally changed. For there, on the way to Damascus, Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul was retained by a higher power. And from that day until the day that he offered himself on the Roman chop block, the Apostle Paul had something to shout about. I had a personal desire in my own life, as I was growing up, to become a lawyer. When I was in the sixth grade, I wrote a paper on my career in law. My mother used to tell me, "You would argue with a fence post. You sure would make a good lawyer." And you know, just recently, my wife said the very same thing to me. But one day, God called me to preach, and I've had something to shout about ever since, and I've tried by the grace of God to shout the gospel. Now I can say with Paul, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." I can say with Paul, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." I have a little knowledge about psychology, but God did not call me to be a psychologist, therefore I will not expound upon psychology. I have a little knowledge about psychiatry and about philosophy, but God did not call me to be a psychiatrist or a philosopher. God called me to be a preacher. I know a little something about history, but God did not call me to be a historian. Therefore, I will not expound upon history. I know a little something about science, but God did not call me to be a scientist. God called me to be a preacher, and I must not expound upon science. I know a little something about economics, but God did not call me to be an economist. God called me to be a preacher. Therefore, I must not spend my time in economics. I know a little something about geography and about mathematics, but God did not call me to be a geographer nor a mathematician. God called me to preach the gospel of redeeming grace, and I must not expound upon these other things. I must preach Christ and Him crucified. I know a little something about English, but God did not call me to be a grammarian. Therefore, I will not expound upon grammar. I know a little something about politics, but God did not call me to be a politician. Therefore, I will not expound upon politics. God called me to preach, and preach I must. I must preach as never sure to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. With the Apostle Paul, I'm ready to say, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I will preach Christ a babe in a manger. Look at that beautiful and holy sight. God wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Therefore, I must not stop at preaching Him in the manger. I will preach Christ as a boy in the temple. There in the temple in Jerusalem, He answered questions that confounded the doctors. He was able to expound upon deep truths that they themselves could not understand. But I must not stop preaching Him as a boy in the temple. I will preach Christ as a teacher in the synagogue. The Bible says He taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes and Pharisees. And the teachings of Christ in the synagogue and in the other areas of the land of Israel, these teachings were profound. But Jesus Christ came to be more than a teacher. He came to be the Savior of the world. Therefore, I must not stop with preaching Him a teacher in the synagogue. I will preach Christ a healer in the sick room, yonder in the home of the mother-in-law of the Apostle Peter. She lay dying, and Jesus Christ touched her body, and she was healed. And that was a great part of His ministry. But Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Therefore, I must not stop preaching Him as a healer in the sick room. I must move on. I will preach Him as a preacher in the pulpit. Jesus Christ was the greatest of all preachers. He used many times a boat as His pulpit, or perhaps the mountainside, or the seashore, or the synagogue, or the temple. And Jesus Christ preached with great authority. He preached repentance. He preached the judgment of God coming upon those who turned a deaf ear to the call of the Almighty God. But I must not stop as preaching Him a preacher in the pulpit, because Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. I will preach Him as a peace giver in the storm. You remember the story when Jesus and the disciples were out on Lake Galilee, and all of a sudden a boisterous wind came up, and Jesus Christ, being human, and remember, He was just as much man as though He had never been God, and just as much God as though He had never been man, because He was human, He slept. And while He was asleep, a storm broke, and they ran to Jesus and awakened Him and cried out to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, being awakened out of His sleep, said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And the Bible says they looked at one another in amazement. They looked at one another in wonderment. And they asked, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey His voice? Let me say to you today, if the winds and the waves of persecution and of problems and of sorrows and heartaches and disappointments and crises and difficulties are now about to overthrow you in your life's program, let me say this to you. Jesus Christ can calm the storms that are in your life. The storm of sin, the storm of sorrow, the storm of heartache, the storm of doubt. All of these storms can be quieted with the words of the Savior, peace, be still. Will you give God a chance to come into your life? Will you give Him a chance to quiet those storms? Will you give Him a chance to give you peace in your heart, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away? He's waiting to give you just that right now outside your heart's door. He wants to come in, and He will quiet every storm in your life. But say, I must not stop there. I must move on, and I will preach Him as a defendant in the courtroom. See Him standing before Pilate, He had been there totally falsely accused. And finally, when the question came, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus Christ said to Pilate, "Thou sayest it." But I must not stop at preaching him, a defendant in the courtroom. I must move on. I will preach him a sacrifice on the cross. And this is what it's all about. Jesus Christ dying for our sins. Paul said that God so loved us that Jesus Christ gave himself for us. I read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus Christ loves you so much today that he went to Calvary's cross, and I never grow tired of telling the story. I only wish that I had 10,000 tongues, because this is the greatest news on earth. This is the greatest news ever sounded by radio or television or any other way. Jesus Christ has come into the world to die on the cross for all the sins of all mankind. And this is the crux of the matter, and this is the core of the gospel. Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures." You see, the death of Christ upon the cross is the only answer to your sins. The Bible declares, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus Christ bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. You see, Christ paid the debt. Christ made the supreme sacrifice. And the gospel story centers about this: his dying upon Calvary's cross to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And you know, Jesus Christ died for you. If you had been the only sinner of Adam's race, Jesus Christ would have died on the cross for you to wash away your sins. And the only way you can go to heaven, and the only way you can have peace on earth in your heart, is for you to come today and to acknowledge Christ as your Savior, confess your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this moment, your sins can be forgiven. But wait, I must not stop with him dying on the cross. Yonder they laid him in the new-made tomb. I must preach him a body in the tomb, but I must not stop there. I will preach Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Yes, Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Jesus said, "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." Jesus opened the grave. He came forth triumphantly to bring about your total salvation. So Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, was the theme of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. It's our theme today, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried, and how that he rose again. But I must not stop there. I must preach him ascending into heaven, back to the glory world, where at the right hand of God he sits this moment making intercession for you. But that's not the end of the story. I will not stop preaching Christ until I preach him coming again to rapture the saints. One of these days, and it will not be long, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back for his own. Are you in that number? Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Are you looking for his return? The Bible says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation." I have a footnote and I shall be through. I have something to shout about. And I will not stop preaching until I draw my last breath. And then, as the songwriter put it, "In a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. This is my message, and I have something to shout about, and I want to share it with you every Lord's Day, right here at this same time. So until next Lord's Day, at this same hour, we wish you well, and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.